I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam,
yes, praise the Lord. Thanks to the Altar of Praise Chorale for that beautiful song. And thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. I'm glad we can share this time in the Word of God together. If you're tuning in to the Voice of Hope for the first time, we want you to know this weekly Bible teaching program is produced by Heralds of Hope. Heralds of Hope is an international gospel broadcast and literature ministry. We use several forms of electronic media to reach millions around the world with our broadcasts in English and 15 other major languages. We also have a large and growing Bible and literature distribution ministry. In addition, we partner with several indigenous ministries in Asia and Africa to further spread the good news of the gospel. These partnerships have enabled us to produce or purchase Bibles and literature in some of the smaller local languages in countries like Kenya, Malawi, Ethiopia, and others. Bibles are being distributed in English, Spanish, Hindi, Telugu, Urdu, Chichewa, and several other languages. Also, our expositions of the Scripture are being translated and printed in a variety of languages. And all of this is made possible by the faithful prayers and generous financial support of listeners just like you. I wish you could read all the responses we get from around the world about how your partnership has impacted people for the cause of Christ. People who have never heard the gospel before are having an opportunity to hear because of your faithfulness. Others who are already believers are being discipled in their walk of faith. You know, only eternity will reveal the full impact of your prayers and your giving. Here's one letter sent to the producers of our Hindi language program in India. The listener writes, "I am a longtime listener of your radio program, Asha Deep, or Light of Hope. This is a very wonderful program. Through it, I found the real meaning of life, and my life has been changed. Especially when I feel very uneasy in odd and critical situations, God's Word comforts and gives me rays of hope. I was moved and touched by your recent message. Oh, it was a wonderful exposition of the Word of God. please send some literature to me so that I can know more about Jesus. So, through your partnership, this listener was able to hear the broadcast that brought so much encouragement to him. And his request for literature will be fulfilled by the staff of Good Books Education Trust, who produce our daily Hindi language programs. Let's reflect with the men on the deep love that Jesus has for this listener and for each of us.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in His fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of Thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to Thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread His praise from shore to shore. How He loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How He watches o'er His loved ones, died to call them all His own. How for them He intercedeth, watches o'er them from the throne.
Thank you, men. One of the expressions of God's love for us is the way in which He has given us His Word. The Scriptures reveal to us who God is, especially through the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus once told His disciple Philip, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." That's John 14:9. And then He said in another place, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:63. That's why on The Voice of Hope, we come to you each week with the exposition of a portion of God's Word. So I hope you can stay with me. After this song by the Rosedale Chorale, we'll begin our teaching.
Lord of Lords, King of Kings, You alone are worthy. All the earth and heaven sings praises to Your name. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, everyone. Praise the King of glory, praise Him for eternity. Lamb of God, righteous one, holy and forgiving. Rising sun, there is none like You.
Some time ago, I was reading an article about our memory as human beings. It was fascinating. One of the points of interest in the article was about our memories from childhood. Research has shown that as you and I age, our memories of childhood change. In fact, the article pointed out that our memories can often be quite different from the actual facts. My earliest years of life were spent on a small dairy farm in Pennsylvania. I have certain memories of the house and the barn, and the layout of the fields and the pastures. And as a boy, there were things on that farm that seemed really big to me. One memory in particular is of a huge rock that rested on the hillside just outside the pasture fence. As children, my brothers and sisters and myself would climb up on that rock, and we would shout, or we'd just make loud noises. And the reason we did that was to hear the echoes that were created by the noise we made. We moved away from that place when I was 11 or 12 years old, and then later as a young adult, I realized that the rock that was so huge in my childhood really wasn't so big after all. The size of the rock was relative to my size. So as I grew, the rock wasn't as big as it used to be. Now obviously the rock didn't actually change, it was my perception that changed. As I think back to my childhood, I recall hearing many Bible stories, either read to me by my mother or by a teacher in Sunday school class. I remember hearing about Elijah on Mount Carmel and his fiery showdown with the prophets of Baal. And I remember the account of David and Goliath. That's kind of like every boy's dream, taking on the local bully and showing him who's really in charge. And then I remember the stories of Daniel, how he resolved in his heart not to defile himself with the food from the king's table. And of course, how because of his prayer life, he spent the night in the lion's den. But God protected him. How his three friends refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, and they were delivered from the blazing, fiery furnace. You know, the power of God on behalf of his people is amazing. I mean, to spend the night in a den with lions and not be mauled or eaten? That's almost unbelievable. But it's true. You know, as I've gotten older and I think back to those stories, especially from the book of Daniel, I'm afraid we too often use these stories to reach questionable conclusions. Like, if you're faithful to God, he'll protect you from the lions, whether they're literal or figurative. But that conclusion violates the greater teaching of Scripture. Read the end of Hebrews 11 and see the list of people who were faithful to God but lost their physical lives. So what's really the point of these stories? Well, I hope to answer that question on upcoming broadcasts. On this edition of The Voice of Hope, we're beginning a series of study from the Old Testament book of Daniel. I've titled this series, Daniel's God: Purpose, Providence, and Prophecy. Now today's teaching will be introductory in nature. When you and I study the Scripture, it's important to know the circumstances that existed when it was written. It's important to know to whom it was written. That would be the original readers. And then why it was written. It's also important to examine the kind of literature it is. Is it prose or poetry? Or prophecy, or something else. Now, to some of you, this may seem unnecessary, and perhaps even boring. But if we approach the Scriptures from our modern, Western cultural mindset, we will probably misunderstand what God's Word is trying to say to us. So having at least a minimum understanding of some of these things I mentioned helps us to accurately interpret and apply the Scriptures to our lives. The opening verses of the book of Daniel provide some historical insight we're looking for as we begin our study. So let me read those verses right now. Daniel chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Let's think about the historical setting. The opening verse that I just read refers to the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. That would be approximately 605 BC. In this setting, only about 20 years separate the current happenings from the destruction of Jerusalem and most of the population being deported to Babylon. At the time, Jehoiakim was paying tribute to Babylon, but he rebelled and he sought help from Egypt. That ended up being a bad choice. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah and besieged Jerusalem. Let me read 2 Kings chapter 24 and verses 1 to 4. In his days, that is, in the days of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah, to remove them from his sight, because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. So you see, God was bringing judgment on Judah because they had rejected the message of the prophets and continued their flagrant disobedience of God's commands. And as part of this judgment, Nebuchadnezzar took vessels from the temple and placed them in the house of his God in the land of Shinar. Now we might ask, what's the reason for that? Well, the supposition of the day was that the gods of the conquering nation were superior to the gods of the conquered nation. So Nebuchadnezzar assumed that because he was able to conquer Judah, his gods, Bel and Aku and Nebo, were more powerful than the Jehovah God that Judah worshipped. Daniel's writing shows us how Nebuchadnezzar would learn the error of that conclusion through some very, very painful lessons. So who wrote the book of Daniel? Well, there's never really been any serious question about who authored Daniel, except among those critics who don't believe in divine inspiration. Jews accepted Daniel as the author, and so did Jerome, one of the early church fathers. Internally, the book claims Daniel as its author, and Jesus quoted from Daniel's prophecy in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Since Jesus, the living word, endorsed Daniel's written words, that's sufficient for me. And we will also see the historical accuracy of Daniel's prophetic ministry, which shows us that Daniel wrote both historical narrative and also predictive prophecy. Now, what was the reason for Daniel's writing? Try to place yourself in the circumstances of the people of Judah. Certainly the times they lived in must have looked dark. Babylon was rapidly becoming the world's dominant power, and it seemed like there was nothing that was going to stop them. So here you are, your city has been placed under siege, and in order to end that siege, you had to surrender some of the gold and silver vessels from the temple to satisfy the demands of your attacker. In addition, a significant group of young men from leading families were taken from their homes and they were transported to Babylon. What would happen to them? Would you ever see them again? Where was God in all of this? Did he really care about his people? Daniel's purpose in writing blends the two themes of prophecy and piety. He wrote first to show God's future program for the nation of Israel during and after the times of the Gentiles. And then secondly, he wrote to show how we as believers should respond in the present as we await the coming kingdom of God. Daniel encourages his readers to remain faithful to God in a hostile society while they wait for God's promised kingdom. God's supernatural power is revealed in the book of Daniel. Though Israel was laid waste and everything seemed lost, God was in control. The false gods of Babylon and Persia were no match for Jehovah. He would certainly have the last word. Now, I mentioned earlier that one theme of Daniel's writing is prophecy. Charles Feinberg grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in an Orthodox Jewish family. But as a young man, he embraced Jesus as his Messiah. He studied at several universities and then eventually earned his Doctor of Theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. Later, he became the professor of Semitics and Old Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary, where my mentor, Dr. J. Otis Yoder, had Dr. Feinberg as an instructor. Here's what Charles Feinberg wrote about the book of Daniel, and I quote, "The book of Daniel is unquestionably the key to all biblical prophecy. It is the greatest apocalyptic book of the Old Testament, whereas Revelation is that of the New Testament. Passages such as Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and the book of Revelation are unintelligible without a knowledge of the book of Daniel." And that's the end of the quote. So we're deeply indebted to men like Dr. Charles Feinberg, Dr. John Wolford, and Dr. J. Otis Yoder for their years of faithful study and exposition of the prophetic scriptures. Now, if we were to condense the overarching theme of the book of Daniel into one sentence, I don't think we could do a better job than Bible scholar F.F. Bruce. His synopsis of the book of Daniel is this: only God is truly sovereign, and He will establish His eternal kingdom. It's my hope and prayer that as we study this book together, week by week, that we will be encouraged, inspired, and better prepared to worship and serve Daniel's God and our God, El Elyon, the Most High God.
Hail,
thank you, Sharon Singers. My friend, as I mentioned near the beginning of the broadcast, this was the first program in a series from the Old Testament book of Daniel. I hope you can join me week by week as we study this amazing part of God's Word together. If you'd like to contact us, the easiest way to do that is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can contact us by mail at the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And you can visit our website at heraldsofhope.org to listen to many of our Bible teaching programs at your convenience. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony from someone whose life has been touched by your partnership. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, by mail at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292, or you may visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel. So tune in and invite your friends to listen too. And until we meet again, let this be your testimony.
Oh, wonderful salvation, from sin he makes me free. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. Oh, blood of Christ, so precious, poured out on Calvary, I feel its cleansing power, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for me. I feel